first text for today's sermon will be from verses 41 through 44. And I've entitled today's sermon, True or False Christianity? True or False Christianity? Which one do we have? It really tells us in our passage for today, from 41 to 44, of a certain poor widow lady. And the context to this passage is quite important, because the Lord Jesus started this chapter by talking about a parable. And needless to say that the Lord's parable on the vineyard and the husbandman was really not welcome to the many religious elite, as it were, that heard that passage, that parable, because it represented the sin and the ruin of the Jewish church. Now, we see in this chapter and in the previous one the low ebb to which the church had sunk to, spiritually speaking. The church, the Jewish church, had corrupted themselves. They had become morally bankrupt, as it were. And there were very, very few people who had true saving faith in the prophesied Messiah and who held to the scriptures. And by and large, it was an outward form of Christianity. It was all about formality, as it were. It was an outward form of piety and godliness with no real saving power. And in the previous chapter, in Mark 11, verse 15, the Lord Jesus went into the temple at Jerusalem and he began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the money changers, as it were. He overthrew them and he drove them out, as it were. And he said, "My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Dear friends, there's one thing that the Lord really is angry with every day besides the wicked, and that's those who pretend by the righteousness, to pretend to be righteous by their works, a hypocritical outward religion, instead of having faith in Christ. Why is this? Because it puts off true, undefiled religion in Christ to many genuine seekers. Many genuine seekers are put off by this outward religion, as it were. The straining at a gnat, as it were. All these traditions and straining at a gnat instead of the true faith in Christ, in the prophesied Messiah. And that's why it says in Mark 12, in today's chapter of where we find our passage in Scripture, verse 37, that the common people heard him gladly. The common people heard the Lord Jesus gladly. He was like a breath of fresh air, as it were, because he was full of grace and truth. Now, to give us some more context of the certain poor widow lady, in verse 42 of Mark 12, the Lord Jesus was tried by certain of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words in verse 13. And so they subtly questioned the Lord God's authority. And later on in Mark 12, verses 18 through to 27, the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection from the dead, they sought to undermine the resurrection and the power of God according to Holy Scripture. And friends, just a very short word of application in this respect. Be very, very careful to listen to the many big names out there in the evangelical world who call themselves scholars, and in the academic circles. Be very careful to listen to them in regards to doctrine and application, because they may get some things right, but it's certain that they will not get everything right. I know of many big names out there in the evangelical world that call themselves scholars, who are lifted up, are very popular, but they can lead us astray in many forms. There are many who seek to subtly undermine the sufficiency of God's word in this respect by ushering in the social gospel and by the rendering away of Holy Scripture, by bringing up the Greek and by using study Bibles and a host of other things. And really, it takes us away. I mean, take, for instance, the social gospel, for instance, with gender equality and the Black Lives Matter movement, feminism, as it were. These are being ushered into the churches, even conservative churches, where the gospel is being watered down. It's more, the gospel is being conformed to the culture's way of thinking, the culture's way of doing. And, of course, the sufficiency of Scripture, Holy Scripture, in everything that we need. It's being rendered away. This word doesn't actually mean what it says. It could have multiple meanings, as it were. And this is rendering away of Scripture. According to 2 Timothy 2 Timothy 2:3, verses 16 and 17, Holy Scripture has everything in it in order for us, the man of God, to be thoroughly furnished unto all good words, good works. It has everything that we need. And so Holy Scripture is inspired of God. Men are not inspired of God. The Holy Scripture is inspired of God. And the men of old were inspired. But that has ceased now. Holy Scripture is inspired and not men. And so that was a short digression. Now, before we look at the poor widow lady, the Lord Jesus was approached by, in verse 28, the Lord Jesus spoke of, in verse 28 of today's passage, the Lord was approached by a scribe, one scribe, which asked him a question: which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, as opposed to many lords, as opposed to many gods. He is one Lord. He's got to be one. You've got to have one God, one Lord over your life, your whole life. And it goes on to say, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And it goes on to say in verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And then it goes on to say God's precious word in verse 34. And this is very important to the context of the passage. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Do you notice that? When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. This one scribe was listening in whilst the hypocritical religious elite were questioning the Lord and undermining the Lord, as it were. And he was listening, he listened to all the answers the Lord Jesus gave them. And he thought that the Lord Jesus answered them well. Here is someone who is full of grace and truth. And so he approaches him, it would seem, by himself, discreetly, as it were. And he asks those questions. And the Lord sees that he's doing it sincerely. He's not worried about, he's not saying it aloud, as it were. He doesn't want to make a big performance of it, a big show of it. His heart is to know the truth, is to seek the truth. And so he answers discreetly. Now, this is the context to which we find ourselves in, coming into the passage of a certain poor widow lady in 41. So bear that in mind. This is the context, which reads in verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And so you can imagine the scene here, as it were. The Lord Jesus is in the temple in Jerusalem, a beautiful temple full of goodly stones and precious stones. And he is sat over against the treasury. And so providentially, purposely, he is sat over against the treasury, the offerings that were to be given for the Lord and for the causes of the Lord, the tithes and offerings, a for charitable use as well. And he deliberately and providentially positions himself here because something great was about to happen. Something amazing was about to happen. And so he deliberately positions himself over against the treasury. And it says, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And so there's the Lord Jesus deliberately positioning himself providentially next to the treasury, beholding it. And what is he beholding? How much people are throwing in? Is he concerned about that? It doesn't say that. Scripture, Holy Scripture, is so perfect. It says, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. He was concerned to see how people were casting money in. It says, and many that were rich cast in much. And so you had many people, the many rich, perhaps it was the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians, and perhaps even those who were not religious, particularly the husbandmen, tenant farmers, those who perhaps were secular, that made occasion to come to the temple. And so we can see here, and just a quick word, that it's not a bad thing. If the Lord God has given you good health and has prospered you, as it were, it's a good thing to give unto the Lord and to be a joyful giver. But I do get a sense in this passage that they were giving for the wrong reasons, this passage here. And many that were rich cast in much, many people, and you could see perhaps it was done in a boastful manner, they were giving in order to receive applause, as it were. Look how generous we're giving. Look how pious we are. Look at what we give for the Lord, as it were. And so they were giving in order to receive back. They wanted to be acknowledged, as it were. And they wanted to be esteemed among men and not God. And so this is the context here. But the Lord Jesus sees how they were doing it. Perhaps they were throwing in the money, look, and in a boastful way. The manner in which they were doing it was exalting themselves. Look at us. Look at how much we're giving to the Lord. Look how holy we are. Exalting man, as it were. And dishonoring God. And yet, the Lord beholds this. He has an eye towards this, on how the manner in which they were throwing in the money. And God's word goes on to say in verses 42 through 44, and there came a certain poor widow. And there came a certain poor widow. And so we can see here, and what I believe afterwards, when this show and this performance, as it were, was over, that this poor widow comes along, and there came a certain poor widow. And so this poor widow comes along, as it were, and it says, and she threw in two mites, which were making a farthing. She was doing what the one scribe was doing earlier. She was being discreet. She was being sincere. This wasn't an outward performance, was it? This wasn't a show for everyone to see. She was doing it with an eye of faith towards the Lord. She wasn't doing it because of a show, because of a pretense, as it were. She wanted to do this for the Lord. And what did she have? She had two mites that make up a farthing. She had far less, as it were, than all the rich people were throwing in. We're making a big show of it, as it were. And the scripture says in verse 43, and he called unto him his disciples. And so this is the Lord Jesus. He says, come. Come here. I want to teach you a lesson. I want to show you something amazing that's going to happen. He's showing them. He's teaching his disciples a lesson. Providentially, he has positioned himself by the treasury. This kind of chest box, as it were, that was to be given for the Lord's offering, for charitable causes, for the Lord's work. And so he calls, come. Come witness this. Come see what's about to happen here. And so his disciples are come over. And he says unto them, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, truly I say unto you, verily, true, in other words, that this poor widow have cast more in than all they which have cast in the treasury, that this poor widow have cast more in than all they which cast into the treasury. And so all of these people, this outward show, as it were, this pretense, exalting man, both in this boastful way, it would seem, this poor widow lady comes after them, as it were, with her two mites, all of her living, as it were. And you can imagine the scene. She comes with everything that she has, as it were, and she casts her lot upon the grace of God. She casts it all upon the grace of God and dependence upon the Lord God. It says in Luke 15:7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And we can see, dear friends, that this was the heart of this poor certain widow lady. It says in verse 44, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even of her living. She casted everything upon the grace of God. She casted all. And perhaps she was a victim of those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes that devoured widows' houses. That's what they were like, weren't they? They used and abused widows, as it were, and devoured their houses. And perhaps she now, that's all she has, and she's just casting it all upon the Lord, all her living, as it were, upon the Lord. Dear friends, a few further truths for us to consider in today's passage of Holy Scripture. Firstly, this passage of Holy Scripture does not teach us that we are to bankrupt ourselves and to become homeless and to penury in the giving of tithes and offering to the Lord. That's what the prosperity gospel teaches. And I've heard of some awful, some terrible things where TV evangelists and the prosperity gospel have preyed upon senior citizens and upon those in care homes, and they've told them that if you don't give everything over to the Lord, all your living, as it were, that the Lord's going to come down harsh upon you. He's not going to bless you, as it were. This is a prosperity gospel that's stretching across the world, as it were, and it's wicked. Now, this passage of Holy Scripture does not teach us that we are to bankrupt ourselves. It's not teaching us that. It's teaching us some valuable spiritual lessons and principles which the disciples were to learn. For if this were the case, it would contradict God's word in 1 Timothy 5:8, which reads, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. We've got to be good stewards of what God has given, and to be a joyful giver, as it were, give from a willing heart to the Lord. But we need not be careless. And so what it does teach us, however, is that the Lord looks upon your heart. He looks upon your heart. He doesn't see the outward, as it were. He doesn't see with the outward form of piety and all that, although that matters. He sees your heart. He saw the one scribe's heart. He saw the certain widow's heart. He is more concerned with the state and condition of your heart than the condition of the outward. That's what he's interested in. And take, for instance, the parallel passage of the certain widow lady in Luke 21, verses 5 and 6, which reads, and some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. And he said, that is the Lord Jesus said in verse 6, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so you have all the people looking at this wonderful temple in Jerusalem, full of these goodly stones, and they're marveling at the stones and the gifts being thrown in, as it were. And the Lord's saying, it's not going to last. All the outward performance, the low ebb to which the Jewish church had come to, what we see now in the West, as it were, all this false Christianity, this nominal Christianity, it's all about the outward. There's no deep inner sense of seeking the Lord, living purely for Him. It's all outward, as it were. He said it's not going to last, as it were. He can cast it down and build it up again in 3 days. What? A temple that took 40 years to establish? He can do that? Yes, He can. It's all going to burn, friends. And that's why the Lord commended this certain widow lady. Because the manner in which she gave, the manner in which she gave, and why she gave, her motives, revealed what was in her heart. What was in her heart? And in the same respect was the one scribe encouraged by the Lord Jesus when he said to the man in Mark 12:34 to the scribe, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." You're on the right track, as it were. You're doing it discreetly. You're doing it with an eye towards the Lord. It's not about a show. It's not about exalting men, as it were. You're truly seeking me. You're on the right track, as it were. It's not about exalting man. You're doing it as unto the Lord and not to men. You're doing it from the heart. And so this certain widow, like the one scribe, had something. They had something in common. They both sought the Lord in truth of heart. They both sought the Lord in truth of heart. The scribe, the one scribe, did it discreetly, unlike the religious lot of that day. And the certain widow, it would seem, did the same, discreetly, apart from all the rich people, which was just a big show in a boastful way, exalting man, not doing it as unto the Lord, but doing it to men. And what does this tell us about the Lord God? What does this tell us about the Lord God? If anyone would seek after God, and if anyone would one would come after Him and know Him savingly, it's got to be done sincerely. It must be done from the heart. From the heart, and not men, or not for worldly gain. It must be done for that. And hence that's why the one scribe was earnest in discreetly asking the Lord Jesus in verse 28, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him in verse 29, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," as opposed to many lords. You see, all this outward performance, as it were, all this outward religion, this form of godliness, as it were, they were worshipping more than one Lord. They had more than one God of their life. And God cannot love God and mammon, because the one will either cleave to the one and not the other. And one will either love the one and hate the other. You cannot love God and mammon, the things of this world. And that's why it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. Notice it doesn't say the heart. It says thy, your heart, all your heart, thy heart, all your soul, your desire. Your desire, your heart's desire, that's what it talks about, your desire. And thy soul, with all your spiritual sense. You're made for eternity to love the Lord your God with everything that you've got, with all your understanding, with all your mind, with your thoughts, everything. And with all your strength, with all your activity, your industriousness. To love Him with everything that you've got. The main word being here is all. Everything that you have. And so the question comes to us, all of us, how is it possible for us, for us to love the Lord our God with everything that we've got? How can we do it? Because we're fallen sinful creatures, aren't we? How can we love God with everything that we have? And the honest biblical answer to that is, and if we're honest with ourselves, and more importantly, honest with God, we can't do it, can we? It's impossible for us to do it in ourselves. You must be born again. You have to be born by the Holy Spirit of God. You must, like the poor widow lady, cast yourself upon the grace of God by faith in Christ. That's what she did. She cast it all upon the grace of God and dependence upon God. She had been let down by men. She had been let down by the systems of this world. And she's casting it all upon the Savior. Discreetly, not unto men, but unto God. The same as the one scribe did. Casting it all upon the Lord. I have no hope but you. Please save me. Please give me a heart that loves you. Please give me a heart that loves you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, so that I can be spent for you. You must understand as well, friends, that like the one scribe, that you may not be far from the kingdom of God. You may not be far from the kingdom of God. There are many that may not be far from the kingdom. They're in the right way. They go to church, as it were. They perhaps are in a Christian home. They're not far from the kingdom of God. They're in the right way, as it were. And yet they could still go to hell. What a terrible thought this is. That there may be some amongst us here today, and some listening to today's sermon, that have often been under the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ, that have still not cast themselves fully upon the Savior and upon the saving grace of God through Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Is there any amongst us today? And only you know in your heart if you've not fully cast yourself, your life, your wants, your all upon the Savior. You don't depend upon yourself anymore. You don't depend upon others. You depend solely upon Christ and what He has done. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. Did not the one true eternal God give His best for us? Did He not give us His best, as it were? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, He gave us, friends, His holy, only begotten Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Oh, friends, why delay to cast all upon the risen Savior this day? Who else can be your soul's anchor and sure stay? Was there ever love like His? Love stronger than death? Was there ever grace so rich and free that God, the Holy One, should lay down His life for me and for you? For a wretched, hell-deserving sinner like me and like you. Oh, the love that will not let me go. Oh, mercy from God up on high that He should think upon such a dead dog as I. Pour out your soul to the Lord Jesus this day, friends, for He is our refuge. And though, like this poor widow lady, you may be a beggar at the means of grace, and though poor and friendless in this world you and I may be, remember that Christ is preparing a banquet for you and me in glory. Cast at once your life upon the grace of God. Come and buy without money from Christ this day. Depend upon His mercy, who will bring you to heaven's glorious bay. For it is better to fall into the hands of God than man, because God is merciful. And we'll leave it at that, shall we?